Welcome to the milk bar. 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 Welcome to the milk bar.
Welcome along, episode 132 of the Milk Bar. Jason and Zoe together in the same room today.
Yes, for the first time for a while, I think. Hasn't it been a couple of weeks?
It has been nearly 3 weeks, I think. Yes. But there we go. But this is their Christmas special, which is what counts. I'm recording this during daylight, and if you hear anybody hammering on the glass next door, it's Julie, who works in the stadium office here at Molyneux, who's next door, who was waving at me at the moment and has told us we've got to be quiet, because it's currently 10 o'clock in the morning, but there we go. And you've been looking out the window across the pitch at Molyneux, because our game last night, 2-2 draw against Norwich.
Yes.
And you, what did you say they were? The lawnsmen?
Lawnsmen, yes. Ground... They've got sticky things that you said are rakes, apparently.
Yeah, we have the groundsmen tending the grass. Yes, they're doing their bit. So, it is the Christmas special. We are heading up towards a festive period, and we have a vast array of guests to welcome along, and that many different people on different microphones. It's awfully, awfully confusing. So first of all, I'm going to just say a quick welcome to Len and Jane Crane. Hello to you.
Hello.
There's Len. Say hello, Jane. You can point the microphone to Jane a moment. We will.
Hello, I've lost my voice, unfortunately.
So she doesn't really need a microphone. She's going to be quite quiet. We're talking to them in a short while's time. Yep. Our producer, Jan, is here with us as well. Hello, Jan.
Hi, Jason. Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas. Good to have you here. You turn up for the Christmas specials when you can get out of the house.
Yes.
Last year you were snowed in. This year the weather's been a little better for us this year.
Yeah. I've been bearing gifts as well.
Have you? Oh, that's good. Yeah. We like that. That's smashing. We like gifts. So we have music too. And if I remember which microphone everybody's on, we can say hello to Brett and Marie. Hello.
Hello. Hiya. Jason. Hello, Zoe. Hi. Merry Christmas.
And to you. Like episode 11 the last time you joined us.
It was.
And we have tunes from you in a short while's time, so that'll be good. On the phone a little later, we have Ashley Miles Wilk from the Rainbow Panto Company. And I'm not sure whether he was on the quiz last year, and I can't remember whether he's kept the miles or not. So we'll find out from him later on. We'll also be talking to them about their pantomime Jack and the Beanstalk a little later. But first of all, some very good news last night. We talked about it a while ago, both with the guy from South Staffs and also the Mayor of Wolverhampton. Brilliant news. We have the Jaguar plant heading to I-54. Joining us on the phone now to tell us a little about what happened at the planning committee meeting last night. We have the leader of South Staffs Council, Mr. Brian Edwards. So, Councillor Brian Edwards, I must get your title right, hadn't I, sir?
That's quite all right.
I shall grovel accordingly. and also Jamie Angus, who often joins us from South Staffs. Hello, how are you?
I'm not too bad, thanks, Jason. Hi, Zoe. Merry Christmas to you both.
Thank you. And to you.
First
of all, Councillor Edwards, so tell us a little about what happened last night. Because everything was rubber stamped, I'm hoping.
It was, yes. We were very pleased. It was a unanimous decision. It's been a very quick turnaround as well. We only had the application in on the 30th of October, and it's determined on the 20th of December for them to have a start early in the new year. So we were very pleased, and our officers have really put in a lot of hard work to get this result so quickly.
And it's obviously vitally important for jobs in the area, and an absolutely massive boost to the Midlands economy.
Absolutely.
Was there ever any danger? Was there things that needed to be looked at and ironed out before it could go ahead?
Well, I mean, we've been talking to them since last March, certainly up till June, July time. It was very confidential, because obviously they hadn't decided where they were going to go. They looked at 100 sites throughout the world, really, and UK and abroad, and they've chosen us for it. But a lot of work's been done before. Obviously, there's been a lot of discussion as to what they want to put up there, and the fact within the economic climate at the moment, you can't afford to lose 750 new jobs, plus all the other 2,000 to 3,000 on top of that in the local area. So we did our utmost to try and expedite it, and we had a very good result last night.
And of course, you have been working alongside Wolverhampton as well.
Absolutely. And it's been very much a partnership between Staffordshire County Council, Wolverhampton City Council, and South Staffordshire Council, all working together and all with one aim in mind, to come out with the right solution.
So you point out that they now can start work in the early part of next year, now that the planning's gone through.
That's what they're hoping to. A lot of the road layout and that within the site has already been done. So, you know, the access onto the site that they want is there, the roads are in. with the exception, obviously, of the motorway junction, which is what will come in the, during the construction period, and that's being provided for by the Wolverhampton City Council and South and Staffordshire County Council jointly to provide the funds for that.
So where will that junction be situated?
It's right off the top end of the site, the northern end, where the site actually abuts the M54. The planning permission for the access was actually given some 4 or 5 years ago.
So what junction number will it be? I take it it's going to have an A in
it. It's just aft two. Actually, the way it's designed, they'll come off at junction two as an access road at the side of the motorway to come onto the site from the sort of east side, and there'll be an access up to the motorway going towards Telford, and there's a bridge over to take the traffic coming from the other side and going away. But the junction two will be the junction that's used.
Mm. Is that junction going to be to allow traffic to get on and off the motorway, or is it just on?
Junction two will be where they get on and off the motorway to go towards the east side.
Mm.
They'll be able to get off coming from west to east, from, in other words, from Telford.
Yeah.
They'll be able to get off the motorway there and come across the road. And they'll be able to get on the motorway to go to Telford from this junction. But they won't. The other two directions will come actually off junction two.
Right.
And up a road at the side of the motorway.
So all the traffic really will be round the back. He's right, because I live right by there. You see,
she's only thinking of herself at this point.
And I'm a bit worried about increased traffic, but if they're going on and off round the back, I'm all right.
Yeah.
There you go. You've already allayed the fears of the locals, which is good.
Yeah, we were certainly very concerned about the people who live in Coven Heath. They are certainly being protected as much as possible from noise and from light pollution, and we've got schemes in within the application and the conditions to protect their position.
Mm. I mean, on the other side of it, though, we live just down the road, and my son's doing an engineering course which finishes in 12 months' time, so fingers crossed he'll be able to get in there, so he's
There's two other engineering factories already virtually built on the site now, Moog and Eurofins, and they're expecting to actually start work early in the new year.
Yeah, well, he's hoping to go into cars, you see, he's interested in the mechanic side of things, so...
Yes.
So basically you're asking if Brian could put a good word in at this point, aren't you?
I'm just saying that from that point of view, because he's a young lad and there's not much around, is there, for young lads, and it's good that there's going to be something for him to look forward to at the end of the course. He's got this company which is coming
which
in.
Which is developing.
And will just be coming open probably in about 12 months or 24 months. Perhaps.
Yeah. So what is the timescale and when do we expect to see the plant open?
They were saying last night that... They were expecting to start commissioning the factory within 2 years.
So just in time.
So obviously, I think there's a 6 month sort of lead-in time where they actually, sort of prove all the machinery and that they're putting in.
Mm-hmm. Well, it is all really good news for the area. And how is this having a knock on effect for the rest of the work of the council in South Staffs at the moment?
Well, it's put a tremendous goodwill feeling at a time when the economic climate is very, very poor. And obviously, from the council point of view, we're going to have increased business rates and things like that, which will all go to help the local economy. And, we've put out what they call the red carpet between us, Wolverhampton and Staffordshire County Council. We have proved that local authorities, whatever political persuasion, can work together and produce the right thing when it's needed.
Well, Councillor Edwards, thank you for joining us and talking a little about that. Jamie, you're with us on the phone still. From your point of view, obviously you're often talking about the sort of services which are available to the people of South Staff, so good news from your point of view as well.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, 750 new jobs, not only into the district of South Staffordshire, but the wider Wolverhampton and Black Country region, and of course all the supply jobs that will come as a result of that as well. It's been a tough few years for you know, for local residents in South Staffs and in Wolverhampton and wider. So this is a very much a welcome Christmas present.
And you've also got your job clubs, and a new one's opened up recently, hasn't it, as well?
Yeah, that's right. This is a project we've been running for the last 6 or 7 months or so, and it's starting to really bear fruit now. We've teamed up with some local housing associations, the local parish councils, and the Job Centre Plus as well, to run a series of work clubs in different villages in the district. And it's basically a free club where people can come along, have a cup of coffee, sit down, chat with some experts, and get some, you know, top tips on how to improve their CV, how to get you know, build their technique when it comes to job interviews, and really find the best ways, because it is a competitive market out there at the moment of, you know, trying to secure a job interview and hopefully get themselves back into work. And in the new year, I think we're opening up our sixth club, and that's opening up in the village of Essington. And that joins the clubs that we've already got up and running in Purton, Featherston, Bilbrook and Codsall, Huntington and Wombourne.
But you've got some fun stuff as well going on as well. Not only the serious side of things and getting people's lives sorted out, but once they're there and they wanted to go off and do something social and a bit of fun, you've got some is it exercise classes on the way as well?
Yeah, we've been doing a lot of work this year, particularly with older people, you know, trying to get them out of the house, meet new people, and also, you know, try and get a bit of exercise in as well. We're running classes literally every week now, again, in various villages up and down the district. In fact, I think we've had about 70 or 80 or so put down their keep fit regimes, and they've come into the council offices for a Christmas meal with our instructors today. But they'll obviously be getting back on the fitness train in the new year. So anybody who does want to take part in those, and they're just gentle exercise classes for older people who want to get out, meet new people, and perhaps you know, get in shape a little bit. All the information on that is on our website, www.staffs.gov.uk.
So staffs.gov.uk. Any more that we need to know about that's going on at the minute?
Well, I mean, if your kids get bored about 2 hours after they finish opening their presents on Christmas Day, which is normally the way, there is a little bit of light relief. We are running some kids' activities at our leisure centres in between Christmas and New Year.
Again. I thought you was going to say on Christmas Day. Then, isn't
not,
that?
Not quite. That would be a service, wouldn't it?
That's above and beyond. Drop the kids off so you can watch the Queen's speech in peace.
I know. But no, unfortunately, we can't quite stretch to that. But we are holding sessions in between Christmas and New Year. Again, all that information is on the Leisure Centre page of our website. So either give the Leisure Centres at Wombourne, Penkridge, Chesinhay or Codsall a call direct, or you can take a look at that information online. But yeah, if you want to palm the kids off for a few hours and have a bit of peace and quiet, we're doing some activities there.
And are you tweeting over the Christmas period?
Yes, and I've drawn the short straw, as it were, on that. So yes, I'll certainly be keeping an eye and sending the odd festive message here and there, because we, you know, we like to keep our Twitter feed updated and give people the latest news. And you know, although the offices may not be open, you know, we'll be sending out various bits of information, especially around bin collections, that sort of thing, which are sometimes a little bit up in the air over Christmas, especially if we get some bad weather. But we'll be keeping everybody up to date on all of that, you know, as soon as we can.
And what's the Twitter address?
You can follow us at @South_staffs. You can join the 1,400 other Twitter followers who are listening to what we have to say.
It's like your little club, isn't it? Which is always nice. And
it is. It is. We're a friendly bunch. Yeah.
Jamie, thank you for joining us. Have an absolutely brilliant Christmas, fabulous New Year, and 2012 sounds like it's going to be really good for South Staffs and across the surrounding areas.
Well, we couldn't have signed it off in a better way. No. So thanks very much.
Brilliant. Have a good time.
Happy Christmas, guys. Thanks.
Cheers. Ciao for now.
Bye.
So, Zoe, apart from trying to get jobs for your family, shall we have a bit of festive cheer in the form of some music now?
Oh, yes.
Okay. Now, in the studio, as we mentioned, we have Brett and Marie. Are you two guys keeping out of trouble? Because it has been a while since we last had you on the show. In fact, it's 12 months at one of Jan's Christmas parties since I last bumped into you two. All good?
Oh, it's all good. But what a party that was, Jason. Do you remember?
It was an amazing party last year. I was
you wasn't drunk, was
no,
you,
I don't drink. I don't drink. Oh, okay. I rarely drink. Hang on, what's this muttering going on in the background? What was that over there? Yeah, I got to be sound engineer and everything. Yeah, so that was good fun.
But it was the most amazing jam session. I mean, it's the most unusual jam I've ever been in my life. Because, of course, we had the legendary Gene Martin on the keyboard, didn't we? We had Gabby the ukulele lady.
Yep.
We had Johnny the harmonica player. And there was Paul on the hurdy-gurdy and bagpipes, if I remember correctly.
Yeah, and I'm sure he played a shawman, a something or else as well.
Recorders.
Recorders.
Yeah.
Right.
Various models.
Various strange
sizes,
recorders.
Yes.
It's all very peculiar.
And then there was you.
Was me, yes.
And a good time was had by all. And Marie started jangling already.
Well, obviously, not her instrument. That is just mine.
It's just the movement that causes that one. So has it been an interesting year of music for you?
It has. We played, last count, we played about 130 different performances here, there and everywhere in the 12 months. So from pubs to clubs, a few little sort of outdoor festivals and things. So, yeah, we've certainly been about. And I've just released my new album, City Blue, which that took a lot of pulling together, but we've just done that and released it out on iTunes now, so we're sort of promoting the album at the moment and having a lot of fun.
So 15 tracks, because there was the City Blue EP, a couple of years ago now, this is the full album.
This is the full album.
Well, we'll take a listen to the title track off CD in a bit, but you're going to do, sir, another tune to get us in the mood for that one.
We are, because I went shopping... That's also a good start. I went shopping, Christmas shopping, no less. This was last year, and there was sort of, going around the sort of mall, and everybody looked really unhappy, and I thought, well, this isn't good. This is Christmas. What's Christmas about? No, I love shopping like just anybody. I love going around the shops, but, it seemed like everybody's sort of going around, and they're all trying to buy things, aren't they? It's like, we need this, and they'd kind of lost sight, and I'd lost sight, because I was there shopping as well. I'm not passing the blame. Christmas should be about sort of being with people we care about, making that sort of time. That's what the proper gift of Christmas is for me. So I kind of took a bunch of old sort of Christmas carols and festive tunes, weave them around my own little melody and wrote a little song, and it's been very well received. I think we've got 35, 36 stations playing this all over the world. It's been aired in New Zealand and Australia and places at the moment. So I did a little song called Christmas Carols and Auld Lang Syne, if you'd all like to sing along with
me. No, we've actually got...
Jason's going to sing.
It's a bit of a party we're having here, and we've got nibbles.
And party poppers.
Yeah, you brought all sorts of things in. It's quite a treat. Song sheets, we got Schlor, you've really splashed out, we've got some Schlor. I know you've got a wine glass with it in, just to make it, you can convince it's red wine.
It's red wine, yes.
And is everyone drinking back there as well?
Yes, yes.
Yeah.
We started before we came.
But so we're going to have a bit of a Christmassy tune now. We'll listen to City Blue in a bit. And are there any more Christmas tunes in your repertoire you can do for us a bit later on?
This is the only Christmas song I've ever done.
I just wondered.
We could make one up on the spot.
Well, I think that'd be good. But so we'll sit back and take a listen to this. And you got a nod when you want us to join in.
Oh, yes, but the choruses, the sort of Auld Lang Syne choruses. And we printed out the lyrics. We came prepared.
Yeah, this is good. So Jan, Len and Jane are going to be singing over there.
And may I say a big thank you for airing the song last night before the Wolves match.
Yes,
that was very...
Played it at Molyneux last night, so it's...
How many thousands would it have been?
It was a short while before kick-off, so we probably had about 10,000 people who were around and about to have heard that last night.
Oh, that's wonderful.
So that's all good. So here we go then. Bells at the ready. And I'll go and leave all the microphones on, which is unusual when we have someone perform, because normally they get switched off. So let's hear from Marie and Brett. This is
Christmas Carols and Auld Lang Syne.
Across the mall, the soulless corporate shopping seems no miracle at all. It's time spent with the ones we love that makes Christmas beautiful. Oh, tidings of comfort and joy, why are we blind to those tidings of comfort and joy? Oh, come all ye faithful. The brass band plays, but the crowd it makes gets smaller every year. People stuck at work and choppers in a world of dance and silent tears. And those who care the most for us just want us to be near. Oh, tidings of comfort and joy, bringing things right. It's about the love we give, not what we buy. Heart, the carols, angels sing. cash to bring, but I'm thinking of friends and family. For the greatest Christmas gift of all is to never let an old acquaintance be forgotten. Busker's moon blowing cards that catch the light. I can spare some money for the homeless dogs, not for marketing and hype. Businessman, don't waste my time online or in my life. Oh, tidings of comfort and joy, while we plan to those tidings of comfort and joy. Sing choirs of angels. Well, I stare away as the years roll by. Now spirit, fly me home, far away from the greed and the stuff I don't need, to the people that I love. And a girl I loved so long ago, I think that's long enough. Oh, tidings of comfort and joy, when things right, it's about the love we give, not what we buy. Hark to heaven, angels sing, those who have everything. Now I'm thinking of friends and family. For the best Christmases of all are when we never let an old acquaintance be forgotten. Never brought to mind. Remember those we have and those we've lost. And the band.
Even put off slightly by the fact that we all sang along there, which is good. And I was very out of tune.
Oh, thanks for joining in. It made it very festive.
I'm hoping I was low enough in the mix not to be able to hear me there, but there we are. So that was lovely.
You don't hear enough Christmas carols, though, do you, at Christmas time?
Well, I think it's the Christmas carols that are lacking. It tends to be some awful tunes. I'm not a fan of Dominic the Donkey. That was terrible. I was made to play that last night, so unfortunately they got a higher billing than you did, Brett, but yours tune was a lot better. It's getting the right feel about a song, and I think you're getting the right message across there, because it is about friends, family, and remembering what Christmas is all about more than anything else.
There's so many cash-in records over Christmas and stuff on, and it's just nice to sort of say, well, this is what I think, you know, and this is what I believe, and sort of get the message out there. And it's been so lovely, all the responses I've been getting. It's been really sort of heartwarming to get that.
We're really enjoying it. That is available on iTunes. Whilst now, go away and buy that. How much is that?
Or the songs are about 79p and the whole album's about 7.99, I think.
So search Brett Huckfield. We'll be sharing more of the album with you, both the track from the album itself and some of the tunes on there performed live in a very short while's time. Meanwhile, though, we have, who's singing along quite merrily in the corner there, Len Crane, and also we have Jane, his wife, we're here with us as well. So hello to both of you.
Hello.
Hello.
Hello, Jason.
How are we doing?
We're fine, apart from a cold.
There's a lot of it going around. Yeah. Now, we need a bit of history, and by golly gosh, there's a lot of history to start us off here. Happily married couple for how many years?
53
years now.
Which I mean, neither of you look old enough to have been married that long, to be fair. I think it's the steam that keeps you young, because, I mean, Len, you've got a history of working with a load of steam engines and the like over the years, haven't you?
Yes, I have now. I used to build models when I was a little lad, and I first built my first model and had it running in steam with a coal fire as well when I was 11 years old. So I have been at it a long time now.
That's, by my reckoning, that's 66 years. 67 years, something like that.
67 years,
yes. Yeah, it is, I'm afraid.
And I mean, you work at on things in the area like the Bratch Pumping Station, which I've been along to one of the steamings of. And, I mean, that was a bit of a labour of love to get that back up and running.
Yeah, well, that took me 20 years to get that really going well in the end. And all volunteer, of course, as well, it was. And I run a business, a transport business of my own, and used to knock off about 2 o'clock in the afternoon and go and work there till about 7 or 8 or 9.
And the rest?
Yeah, and yes, it says Jane. How did you put up with all this? I mean, you must have a love for these things as well.
Well, I learned a long time ago, if you can't beat them, join them. And when we first met, I was 16. He said to me, "Now you get this straight, Jane. My lathe came top of the list, and my motorbikes and all my gear and all this, that. And you're about 43rd on the list." I've got up to 27 now, so well, I'm getting better.
It's the fact the list regularly updated that I quite like. That's quite impressive. But you've worked with a lot of people over the years, including Fred Didner, I think, in your time.
Yes, we have, yes. Old Fred used to come and, if he was in the Midlands doing a talk somewhere, he used to come and stop with Jane and myself. And Jane used to pick him up from the railway station and bring him home. And we've had some good times with him as well, all around the country, of course. Different steam rallies and things, mm-hmm. where he used to be and I had. And he'd come and steer my engine for me, and I'd do his and steer his and steam it up. And I'd give him advice on how to do it properly sometimes as well. Which he didn't take too much, but he used to have to listen, you know.
Yeah, and you were right, which is what counts.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, that's what being a Yorkshireman is. Mm. You can always tell a Yorkshireman, but you can't tell him much.
No, and a talented right. man, and sadly missed, though, as things stand. Yeah. But, I mean, how many steam engines and steam bits of equipment have you got at the moment as well? Because I know you've been working at the Black Country Museum with one piece over the last few days.
Well, that's a steam organ, that is. Mm-hmm. It's an organ. It's in the back of an old Bedford TK lorry, and of course transports it like that. And the old organ itself was built in 1900. It's a really old organ, quite a big one. And I found it in a barn down in Dorset. A chap come and told me there was an old organ in this barn and told me where it was, and went along, found it, and finished up talking him into selling it to me. Jane wasn't very pleased at the time.
She doesn't look too pleased now, to be fair.
And anyway, we bought it and took it home. And of course, the mice had been in it and eaten all the pipework and all the leather puffs and things that make it work. And it was a complete rebuild. It took me 3 years to get it before it would work. But it's a marvellous thing. And Jane, of course, as I say, when I first brought it home, is a case of what you bought that blooming thing for. And anyway, but she's really taken to it now. She plays it. We're actually at the moment.
The look says maybe she hasn't.
She has taken to it, and she knows all about the tunes. She knows all the books of music. And, of course, it plays these... The actual tunes are played by a card book. And the card book opens up and folds up and goes through like a ring-a-roller, which is a playing... part of the organ, and it goes through there, and the air blows through holes would appear on the card, and that's what makes the actual pipes play. So the air blowing through, It's a really a very early computer, a card playing computer, you could call it, really.
Mm-hmm. And it's all ones and noughts now, isn't it? Which is exactly what it was back then.
Yeah, it is. But it's marvelous how it plays, and we really enjoyed. And at the moment, we've been for the last 4 days now, of all evenings, I should say, playing at the Black Country Museum with it. The Christmas party's on every night. Another one on tonight. Wednesday night's the last night tonight at the Black Country. And we're there with the organ playing there now. But I think all the tickets are sold out. They've been for 5 days now.
Yeah.
Yeah, been a good do. Crowds.
And how much did that organ actually cost you to buy? And what do you think the renovation costs were?
Well, I paid 15,000 for it when I bought it, even in derelict condition.
Yeah.
Off the old showman. But luckily enough, I'd say all the books, the card books of music, that had the common sense to put them away in the airing cupboard.
And that's the bit that's going to take a lot of the value, isn't it?
Yes. The complete cost of actually doing it, I don't know, because you don't count your own time.
No.
Mm. Probably cost me another £5,000, I suppose, in expenses.
But what do you think it's worth now? What's it insured for?
Well, it's insured for £25,000. That's all I've got it done for. Mainly to keep the price down of the cost of insurance.
Well, yes, but that's a wonderful bit of kit, though. Yes. Let's not talk about the air. We won't tell the insurance company. Yeah. But it sounds like
Is there many of them around? I mean,
yeah. Well, mine's what they call a 48 key, meaning that it's got 48 holes in the books that plays the music. 48 key, but they go up to 110, 115 key. Really big ones, you know. And of course they're fantastic organs, really. I could do with a bit better motor now. I'm thinking of buying a better motor to put the organ in.
But is there a big market for these things, though? I mean, are they changing hands regularly, or are there so few that it doesn't really
happen? There's not that many. No, they're very, very rarely changed.
And there's a lot of labour of love, as we've said, goes into making sure they're kept up and running. But what other steam equipment do you take out and about with you at the moment?
Well, we've got two engines that we're running at the moment. I've got the old Fowler crane engine, which is John Thompson's from Essex Shirley in Wolverhampton. I've had that 42 years now and taking it about. We're taking it all over the continent as well, Belgium, Holland, Germany. The second one I've just finished, more or less this last year. I bought that a few years ago. It's a really old one. 1902 is an old engine. And it's over 100 years old, of course. And I've just finished it now, 9 years of hard work. Completely finished it mechanically, with the boiler and all that side of it. Pistons, all out, new pistons, everything. And then painting it and lining it in gold leaf, and I've done it all myself. And that's 9 years of hard graft, but we've just finished it, and it runs lovely.
Brilliant.
I bet you get a lot of job satisfaction once you've finished it, once it's all complete.
Yes. The this one is very similar to the ones that Pat Collins used to have in the Midlands, it's a road locomotive, pulls all the fairground equipment. They load it all onto trailers, or used to do in the days, and then the engine hooks them up and pulls them all along to the next fairground where they're going to, and then they unload all the fairground off the trailers, build it all up. And then the engine puts the electric cables on to the dynamo. You put the belt on, which goes onto the flywheel, across to the dynamo, and that produces the electricity which runs the fairground.
So you'd have steam-powered lights?
Yeah, well, that's what it is.
Yeah, I like that idea.
A lot cheaper.
Yeah, and the fuel is fairly easy to come by, I suppose, because you're talking, what, coal to run these, or is it coke?
It's coal.
Mm-hmm.
Coal, yeah. But even that, you see now, you're going about diesel costs and things. Even that now is getting very expensive. Where coal used to be very cheap, it isn't now. No. It's at the moment I'm paying £290 a ton.
And how long does a ton last you though? As far as
only a day, it's only a day.
Yeah. That is a lot of
a
money.
Day.
Yeah,
that's a lot of shoveling as well. That keeps you fit.
Yeah. Well, I've just done 2 weekends in Queen Square in Wolverhampton with the one engine. We've been there with it. And, of course, I use a ton of coal. And it's like the fire at 5 o'clock in the morning.
You have to get to build a head of steam up first, get the pressure there before
you go.
Yeah.
So that's going up and getting steam up at 5 o'clock in the morning. And then you got to hope that my pals come and help me then all get there for about 8 o'clock. And we can drive it up the road and wherever we're going, you know.
Now, as part of all of this, you've both, and the first time ever husband and wife, had received a Lifetime Achievement Award for dedication to the steam engine movement. And that saw you back in July head down to Transport House in Trinity Square, London, when you received an award. Tell us a bit about the award and who made the presentation.
Prince Michael of Kent. Did the presentation, and we were invited there to Trinity House, that was it where we went, and we were invited to London, Jane and myself, and I say Prince Michael Kent did the award, and also McAlpine, the old road builder, was there as well.
Yes, Sir William.
Sir William McAlpine. I've known him a good many years, though, before he was a Sir William.
He's just billed to you, is he?
Yes. Yeah, so we do it. But anyway, it went off very well, and we went to receive, and they give us a lovely do, and give us a meal afterwards, and Prince Michael, he talked, come over the after the actual award, he come over and sat with us at the table and talked to myself and Jane for a good couple of hours. Really, very friendly man.
Having had conversations with you in the past, I know a good couple of hours doesn't even touch some of the stories you can tell. And it is always a joy listening to you and having a chat with you. And to that end, in the last 12 months or so, you've been featured in one of the Steam magazines as well, haven't you?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, they did a series of four of the editions that came out. And they covered all my life story, really. Right from racing motorbikes right through to my models and things I've done otherwise as well. I've done a lot of other things as well. Anyway, racing the bikes. I first rode at Hawkstone Park. This is scrambling, of course, and of course today it's called motocross. And I raced solo there in 1953. I come back from Egypt after being in the Remy in the army. And I came back and rode in the September meeting in 1953. And I rode right up to 76, 25 years of hard racing. Won the British Championship several times and also the European twice, so I could ride a bike.
Yes, I think you can. Well, they did cause you a few problems getting up the stairs here at Molyneux today on the grounds of a few injuries.
I was one of my knee aches, that is.
Yeah.
One of my knee aches.
But they're still the original knees, which is what counts.
Oh, yeah. I got several breaks, I can tell you.
Yeah, I can imagine from that length of career and riding as hard as you will have done to get to those titles.
Yeah.
But I mean, Jane, I mean, you've been there. You haven't just been a backseat passenger in all of this, have you?
No. I was brought up as a small child. My father rode in trials, and then when I met Len, I supported him in the motorcycle. It was a very exciting time, really. Mm-hmm. Especially winning the championships, because it was motorbike site cars who won the main championships. And we're still in touch with his site car passenger now, who's 65, which makes you feel really old. As he was 17 when he first came to us. And absolutely lovely, and all the girls used to... it was like sort of real, you know, sort of hero worship for this blonde 17-year-old lad. He's still very handsome now, though. Mm-hmm. But as I said, if you can't beat him,
John
Pearson is his name. Yes, he's got a firm at Sedgley, and then after we decided, we came back from Switzerland in 79, and Len looked at me and said, "I think we'll sell the bikes." Because we'd had 12 passengers that year, because they didn't stick around with us, because it was a little bit...
It's a bit hairy.
Very much so, yes. And the last one, the Swiss man, he fell off the bike and said, "These English people are mad." And that was...
It did, yeah.
But, and then we'd already got the Fowler then. But it was a different life altogether, because when we joined the steam movement... There was all these old men got these engines and they didn't understand young people. And they didn't want women on engines, you know, because we were taboo.
Oh dear, yeah.
But now, the whole thing's turned full just circle now. Change. Women are, they're running their own engines and it's fine.
And yeah. rightly so. If you can do a bit of engineering, do a bit of engineering.
Well, that's yeah. right.
If that's your thing, go for it.
Exactly.
Can I just say that I built a lot of models from when I was a young lad, and then they got bigger and better, of course, over the years. And the one I built was in, what would it be, 66, wasn't it? 67, like and I won the first British Championship on the bikes then as well, but I was still modelling, building models in the winter. And the one that I built then, they took me into entering in the International Models Exhibition in London, which I did, and I won the Championship Cup with that as the best model. And then that qualified me to enter it again the next year, and I won the Duke of Edinburgh Trophy with it then. So, as you can see, I can build models as well. Mm-hmm. And the thing was that John Thompson's, where I had the big fail of crane engine from, John Tettingshill, I wrote to them and asked them if I could come in. And I knew their old crane engine was on the tip at the back, disused, been out of commission for about 20 years, and was rusting away. And could I come in and measure it all up? And I wanted to make a model of it. I'd just won this Duke of Edinburgh Trophy one with the one I'd already built, and I'd like to build one of their engine. And they invited me in, gave me permission to go through the gates, and in. And I worked. I went and measured it every Saturday afternoon, mm-hmm. and worked to get it to build the model. And I've been building it for about a year. And I'd made the new back wheels. I'd made the chimney and the front smoke box all on. Just going to start the boiler. When the phone rang, and it was Chris Thompson, wanted to see me, so I went round, and he said, "Have you heard the news?" And I said, "No." And he said, "We've been taken over by Clark Chapman of Gateshead." And he said, "I'm not the owner anymore. I'm still the boss, and I'm on the committee and all that." He said, "But I'm not the actual owner anymore." And he said, "I think everything's going to be sold or closed down. And you'll better get a move on with your model if you're gonna get it finished, because the engine will disappear one day." Anyway, that went on for a bit, for another 3 or 4 months. Mm-hmm. Then all of a sudden he phoned me again, and he said, "We've been thinking about this. You're the model engineer in Wolverhampton. You're the steam man in Wolverhampton. What do you think? You ought to have the full size one instead of the model." And I said. And I said, "Oh dear."
Well, Jane, what did you say at this point?
No,
you said no, right?
No way. Yeah.
Well, the first thing, of course, comes in, "Well, I wonder how much you want for it, you see." And he said, "Well, I don't know at the moment." He said, "Well, I have to talk to Clark Chapman's about it now and everything." And anyway, it turned out that they wanted me to have it, really, and keep it in Wolverhampton, which I've still got to say. I've had it 42 years now. And we keep it like brand new and everything, which keeps them happy. And he talked me into it, and I had to go to Clark Chapman's in Gateshead and do the talking and everything, and finished off paying £3,000 for it. Mm-hmm. Which
was a lot of money back then.
It was a lot of money.
About in 1970, that was. And you could buy a good house for £3,000.
Yeah, I was going to say, my parents paid £3,000 for their house in 1969.
Yeah,
yeah.
Exactly. Yes.
Yes, so you can see that's how that developed. So instead of the model, I never finished the model because I've got the full size one.
You got the real thing. So the wheels wouldn't quite fit at that point. Yeah.
Yeah, and then other things developed. Another chap found out about me, and we did models and things. Did models and then gone to full size, and he got a steamroller which he wanted to sell, and I wasn't going to buy it, the steamroller, because I already got John Thompson engine. And anyway, I had to go and just see to be polite. And when I got there, of course, the engine was all in bits in a shed. And but when I looked at the name, it was called Jane. And of course, straight away, that altered things straight away. I thought, well, I better have it since it's called Jane. And completely
talked yourself into it.
And built it and rebuilt that. And
Can I just check that? The Jane that's on the list at number 27, is that you or the steam engine?
Well, I think that came above me.
Right.
I think that was probably 30.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, there you are. That's it. And I'm saying now, this one we've got now, what I've just finished now, is a lovely old engine. And I say it's very old, 1902. And
why don't you tell them what it is? A Burrell?
Yeah, it is a Burrell. Yeah, Burrell. And it's a road loco, as I say, with a dynamo and all that on. And
So it can produce electricity. Yep. As well.
It was 1902, brand new, and it worked right through until 1952. Then it was parked up. In a wood, and it was just rotting away when I bought it.
It's a terrible shame when these sort of things happen. I'm glad that there are still people like you who are prepared to put it into this, and Jane who's prepared to help and let you do it,
yeah.
Which I think is the important bit, otherwise your life wouldn't be worth living.
You're talking about Jane and me being married 53 years, and I'll tell you how it happened. I was riding the bike, and this was a Kimber Edge.
Yeah.
This was a scrambler Kimber Edge.
Yeah.
And Jane knew me a little bit from the club nights when we were at the club.
Yeah.
And she was only a little girl of 16 then in those days.
14.
Well, 14, that's right. And
a few years ago.
Yeah, only a young girl. And anyway, I'd just won the one race. I'd won the 250 race. And I got there and I thought, now I'm going to have a go at the 350 race, and I'll make the carburetor a bit bigger. So I was changing the jets in the carburetor, and anyway, I dropped the tin with all the jets in the grass, and I was on my knees just picking all the jets up out of the grass, and Jane walks by and she just looks at me and says, "Hello, Len, what you done?" I said, "Oh, I dropped my blooming jets looking in the grass." So knowing Jane as she is, she got straight down on her hands and knees and helped me find all the jets and pick them up and put them back in the tin. And she was very close to me then, of course. And I would never have had the wit to do it, or daredevilness. And I just leaned across to her and I said, "Would you like to go to the pictures tonight?"
Aww.
And that was it 53 years ago.
That's impressive. Well, I mean, well done for that. It's a smart move, and one that's been 53 very happy years, yeah, I would guess, yeah. Looking by the two of you. No, Jane's again disagreeing.
Oh,
there,
dear,
yeah. Another 53 yet to go, I'm trusting.
And
plenty more engineering projects along the way.
Yeah.
Now, if people do want to see you in action with your steam engines, how do they find out about what's going on?
You've got to buy the books, I suppose, the magazines that's printed to do with the steam engines.
Yep.
And that's the Old Glory. One is called the Old Glory. And the other one is called the Vinci Spirit.
And I'm sure they've got websites as well. Just Google them and you can find out what's happening. Yeah. And when we see you build, what names are we looking for your engines?
Wolverhampton Wanderer, the failure is called.
Mm-hmm.
That's what we call that.
Yep.
And the name on it is Wolverhampton. It's all been called that right from the works days.
Yeah.
John Thompson's. And the other one's
Endurance.
Yeah.
Test of Endurance.
Okay.
Yeah. Sounds very like she knows so. All about
it. Altered the name. I'm joking.
Yeah, it's Endurance.
Yeah.
But we are in West Park with other people, engines, about 15 or 16, on the summer around the 5th of June this next year.
So look out for the steam show in West Park.
It's the Queen's Jubilee weekend.
It's the Queen's Jubilee
we go.
To celebrate.
Yeah.
And it's all free to everyone.
Brilliant. Well, I having been to the steam fair in the past in West Park and seen you both there.
Oh, yes.
Did I see your alter ego in the form of the steam engine as well, possibly
you
one
did.
Of the years?
You did.
So it is all worth going along to see. Brilliant to see you both. Lovely to have you here. Once again, congratulations on your Lifetime Achievement Award for the dedication to steam and that event that took place with Prince Michael of Kent back in July. Lovely to see you both as ever. And wonderful singing, Len, from earlier on. That was absolutely great.
Oh.
But thank you both for joining us. Meanwhile, though, let's take some more music from Brett. And this time round, Brett Marie, we're going to hear the studio track. Now, Marie, do you feature loudly on this one? Does he not let you in the studio?
No, I'm just on the Christmas one at the moment, but hopefully next year I'll be on some others.
You'll be allowed to progress.
Yeah, I'll let you join in.
Yeah, so Brett, I think that's a little unfair, to be honest.
Well, I started out, I mean, I was between bands most of the time I recorded the album, so, as you know, I played all the instruments, and then I started teaching Marie to play guitar and percussion and bits and pieces, and by the time I got around to recording the Christmas song, I said, well, come along and have a go. And she did brilliantly, didn't you?
I think so, yeah.
We're impressed. But we're going to take the title. Oh, hang on, Jan, I got you switched on, Jan. What was that, sorry?
Marie's a brilliant bass guitarist. Yes. I've discovered.
Yeah, you discovered that, didn't you? When you came to watch us.
Oh, I forgot, Jan, you came to see us over the summer, didn't you?
And we met
a rather famous person, didn't we?
Yeah, we did, yeah. He was the drummer of the Tornadoes, and I forgot his name.
No. I think it was Clem
Cantini, is it?
Clem Cantini, possibly.
Clem Cantini, yes.
The word started coming back to me, Jason, that there was a sort of a well-known sort of 60s drummer, celebrity in the audience, mm-hmm. And then I think it was Marie leaned over to me mid song at one point and goes, there's a man over there, and every time you play a solo, he's going bloody brilliant. This is nice to be popular. So after the gig, myself, Marie, and Jan all sort of wandered into the bar as you do.
Mm-hmm. We just went over and bothered him, didn't we?
I said, you know, I was a big fan of sort of, you know, 60s bands and used to go and watch them a lot with my father when he was alive, bless him. So I said, you know, really, really impressed, and, you know, it was an honour to meet you. And he stopped me dead. He said, no, Brett. He said, no, it's an honour to meet you. He said, you are the best guitar player I've ever seen in my life. And if we'd have had you in the Tornadoes in the 60s, we'd have had a damn sight more hits. And I was like,
He did actually say that. He was lovely, wasn't he? I've got Jan to back me up on this, if I'm not making this up.
And I was absolutely bowled over. You know, if my dad had been alive to hear that, you know, there'd have been a little tear in his eye. So sweet.
That's lovely. Okay, well, we're going to take the title track from the album now. Tell us a little bit about this one, then.
Well, this is the song City Blue. This is the sort of the album varies a bit, but this is kind of my little nod towards jazz.
Brett Hookfield on his own, no Marie. She'll be joining us later on for some more tunes. But here he is with the title track from his album, City Blue.
So what if it rains? Can't stop the river flowing. And what if things change? No matter where we're going, I'll still be loving you. But if the best times fade to sad, just let me hold you in these arms. Those empty streets won't seem so bad. We'll always make it through. Don't paint the world in city blue. And when you call me, I will run to fill your memories up with smiles. Nights of color, days of stare, on life's river running wild. I never wanted more than this, to share the moments and your kisses. Take a chance on someone who save you from the city blue. Fortunes are strange, can't stop the wind from blowing. But I'll say it again, don't matter where we're going, I'll still be loving you. When good luck stays, our mirrors crack. So let the morning steal your dreams. I'll be the man who stole them back. Don't let it get to you. That subtle shade of city blue. And when you call me, I will run to fill your memories up with smiles. Nights of color, days of style, on life's river running wild. I never wanted more than this, to share the moments and your kisses. Take a chance on someone who save you from the city blue. Those cold city.
I enjoyed that. Zoe,
very
you,
nice.
You...
I was drifting off there, Jason. You, as I do.
Relaxing.
Yeah, yeah, it was very nice.
Brett, we love that.
Oh, I'm pleased to hear that. I really am.
Lacked one thing, though.
What did it lack?
Marie.
Marie.
So, yeah. We've got another tune for us in a few minutes' time, okay?
Yes, certainly.
Great. Okay, more in a mo. However, we do now go to the telephone lines where we find Ashley Miles Wilkes.
Hello.
Hello. A slightly inquisitive hello from you there. You all right, sir?
I'm fine. How are you?
I'm okay, thank you. Now, you joined us for the Christmas quiz last year.
I did, and I think we won.
You are doing your pantomime stuff all over again with Rainbow Panto, in association with Noda, presenting a giant of a pantomime, you bill it as, Jack and the Beanstalk.
Yeah, I designed the leaflet. How do you know?
I've got a leaflet. That's how I know.
Oh. I designed it.
Yeah, well, we won't hold that against you.
Thanks.
Tell us more about your role in all of this. Not only do you design leaflets, but you're part of one of the directors of the company.
I'm production. I direct the whole thing.
Now, does this mean there's been favouritism in the casting of the lead role in Jack and the Beanstalk?
There's no favouritism.
Who's lead role in Jack and the Beanstalk?
Okay, my fiancé.
Yes.
Did she have to do an audition like everybody else?
Well, what it was, she was actually originally the fairy. And we went through four Jacks. They seem to have come and gone. And
she's the only one who can cope with your directing.
Exactly,
ability.
She's the only one who can cope.
Yeah, she can put up with you.
Yeah.
Now, Ron Hall's written the production, so is he part of your group, or have you bought this?
It's Ron Hall. He was written in 1980s, but we've spazzed it up a bit.
You've freshened it up for the 2011 audience.
Yes.
In fact, it's actually going to be 2012 audience, because you perform at the Dormiston Mill Theatre in Millbank Sedgley,
yes,
from Sunday the 22nd through to Saturday the 28th of January next year.
Mm-hmm.
And is it a traditional take on Jack and the Beanstalk? I'm guessing from your leaflet design there's a cow and a giant in it.
Yes.
But what else do we need to know?
There's no harp and there's no goose or chicken or whatever they use.
Right. No animals were harmed in this production?
No. It's more of an ogre.
Oh, okay.
So it's not a giant, it's an ogre.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Now, who is taking the part of said ogre?
I believe his name's Fish.
Yes, he's a gentleman who we have had him on the show before, and we do both know. And there's giggling from around the studio now. You all right, John, back there? Yeah? Okay.
He's going to be fab, though, isn't he?
I can imagine. Well, I think he may as well end up getting typecast as
the... But he also plays the Rainbow Leader.
Two roles for him?
I know. One was typecast because he was large, and the other one... Yeah, he plays the Rainbow Leader.
So we've given the date, so Sunday the 22nd through Saturday the 28th of January. How many performances in that time? Are there a few matinees as well?
Yeah, the Sunday matinee and the Saturday matinee.
And you can get yourself down there. And how do the ticket prices work out?
It depends on which evening. They start if you look at the back of the leaflet, Jason.
I've got that in front of me, but I'm hoping that as the person we're interviewing about this, you're going to be able to give that information to us.
They start from £5.
Any family discounts?
That was a discount.
£5 a concession rate for the Tuesday evening performance, and also the Monday night as well. That's the cheaper nights, the Monday the 23rd and Tuesday the 24th of January.
And we should get our act together by the Saturday night so they get expensive.
Fingers crossed. Yeah, Saturday night, no concessions allowed by the time they've got the script worked out for the 7:30 on the 28th.
The line should be there by then.
I always think it's funnier with a panto if they do a bit wrong anyway.
Yeah, sometimes I think the bits are written that have gone wrong.
Yeah, that is true. But you did wrong because we ended up doing a different panto by the end of the week.
It could be Mother Goose by the time Saturday night comes.
Exactly.
The scenery would look a little odd by then, I'm sure.
Mm.
So, a good company, Rainbow Pantomimes, doing great jobs. Been going, what, 20 years now?
Yes, it's our 20th production.
So congratulations to all of them. Well done. If you do want tickets, where can you get them from?
Dora Waldridge. I haven't got a number in front of me, but...
It's on the back of the leaflet, actually.
Yeah, 01902.
Good job, I gave you that leaflet.
01902, you did well. Carry on with the rest of it.
Does it start with an 8?
It does. 01902. 894472.
That's the one.
I'll do that without the giggling. 01902 894472. Even though he's a bit scatty, I'm sure the production will be great because he's following the script. So,
it's not.
No, it'll be brilliant. Get yourself down to Dunstan Mill Theatre, Millbank, Sedgley, at postcode DY31SN, just in case you're listening back to this podcast as you're heading out the door, realising you haven't programmed it into your sat-nav. Sunday the 22nd through to Saturday the 28th of January next year. Jack and the Beanstalk, and do you appear on stage, or are you purely doing your director role?
I'm just a director. Yeah. Like an artist, I have to look back at the painting.
Make sure it all comes together.
It gets worse, doesn't it?
Do you get like, do you regularly look for new actors and actresses?
All the time. We're desperate, actually.
Oh, okay.
No,
the reason I ask is that my son wants to get into that side of things. So I said I'd watch out for him. He's 19.
Bring him along.
He wants to be an engineer and work in pantomimes with his
school today. He's keeping his options.
It's like the job club from South Staffs Council in here today, isn't it? Well, there we are. Right.
He wants to explore his creative side, Jason.
We will put him in touch. He just wants to make sure he doesn't turn out like his mother. But there we go. So, Ashley, good luck with it all. I think we're supposed to say break a leg at this point, but the 20th outing for the Rainbow Pantomime Theatre Company, and well worth getting along to see them, from what I am told. Especially because Fish is in it, because he's a top comedian as well.
He's going to be great.
He'll be brilliant.
Yeah.
Thank you for joining us, Ashley. Have a great Christmas.
You're welcome, Andy. Merry Christmas.
Cheers. Speak to you
soon.
See
you in the new year.
Ta-ra for now.
Bye-bye.
Bye. Right, so more music to come. Brett and Marie, you're going to be allowed to join in this one, aren't you, Marie? Is that okay?
Yeah, that's okay for me to join in, yeah.
That's all right. What have you got for us this time around, then?
Well, I thought I'd play. You've heard this before, but it's kind of one of my most requested ones live. This is called Here Again.
We haven't got to join in this time, have we?
You can join in.
No, we won't.
You know it well enough.
No,
I'll
show you respect for the music and I won't sing along. Brett and Marie, take it away.
Lovers dreaming and passion's ghost. It's been so long, but I don't know. I kept these moments while I'm feeling. Should Sunday morning take me home beneath the skies before the dawn, I will find the places that desert sun, I walk away, but let me run back to your arms and watch them leave it. For someday all this will be done, no more chances to get it wrong. Or tell me why you wait so long. For someday all this will be done. You lie in the dark, you hide in this box, you've broken my heart, but I'm here again. I'm here again. You lie in the cold, we know what you know. We
to find the places that love grows like Sunday morning.
So long ago, you lie in the dark, you hide in the sparks, you've broken my heart, but I'm here again. I'm here again, you lie in the cold, we know what you know, we come and we go, but I'm here again. I'm here again, you lie in the dark, you hide in the sparks, you've broken my heart, but I'm here again. I'm here again. So look into my eyes and hold me like you held me then,
'cause I'm here again.
Absolutely excellent.
Thank you.
I'll enjoy that now. Have you got a? Can you play Jingle Bells to play us out the show in a bit?
We can have a go.
If you work the chord sequence out yet. You think about that. We've got to finish off the show. Thank you to everybody for joining us. But before we do go, producers, presenters, we do have to do a bit of Christmas present type sharing. You don't mind if we don't include you in this, do you? Yeah, you're all okay with that.
That's just a little tradition.
Yeah, don't mind that. So we could become self-indulgent. There are sausage rolls there if you do fancy a nibble whilst we wait.
And
sausages on sticks. Well, sticks and sausages. I know they weren't prepared.
you have to do that yourself.
DIY. Yeah, in fact, if someone could bring half a, or is it an orange or something, you know, we can stick them in and make one of those little hedgehog things. Maybe not. So hand the plates round. But we do have presents now. What have I got? I can't find any of my stuff.
Right. Hang on, I'll pass this over.
What's that for me?
That's for you.
Oh,
yeah.
Thank you. Yeah. That's my present.
And a
right.
Homemade Christmas card. A
homemade Christmas card. That's good. Thank you, Jan. That's Jan, our producer. Zoe, there's your present. And that's for you. Jan, where did I put Jan? Oh, there she is.
Don't worry.
It's
enormous.
And I've actually got, there's two presents for you, Jan. Open that one first. There you
go.
Right, heavy. Sausage rolls? Really, would you like a sausage
roll? Oh, no, how pretty.
Well, it's not brilliantly well wrapped. And Gemma, I apologise that's dented. But as everybody listening will know, I have actually spent... I'm enjoying the Christmas tunes as well. This is good. As everybody will know, I have spent the last few weeks in Norway. So I bought you that back from Norway. And you got dented in my case.
Oh.
So
if you can get... Is it a tin of bog?
No, it's not bog, actually, no. Because I think that was tinned ham.
Oh, right. Okay.
Sausage rolls are moving the way around the room. And the sticks and the sausages.
I'm just opening my tin of bog.
Jason, I haven't given you mine.
Oh, thank you.
There you go.
That's lovely. One for me.
I've got a traditional.
I haven't done you a card.
Oh, I've got a sod.
Yes. which is some sort of broth thing in Norway.
How lovely. Look.
Is it like a soup, is it?
It's some sort of weird soup
that's
thing, yeah.
That's a real special treat, yeah.
That's good.
As a starter on Christmas Day.
That's lovely. I wouldn't if I were you. It's probably revolting based on the food exploits I've had in Norway. Zoe, what have you bought me? It's an eau de toilette, but it's very nice.
I thought I'd go with the traditional Christmas.
That's quality, that is.
Some wind-up space hoppers.
Some wind-up space hoppers for you, yes. And some sweeties as well. In fact, would you like your Christmas present from last year as well?
Oh, have you saved it?
I've got your Christmas present from last year when you failed to turn up. So there you go. That's what you should have had last year.
Oh, it was worth not having it last year to have two this year, wasn't it?
Yeah. In fact, Jan, because you didn't come in, I've got your Christmas card from last year as well as this year.
Oh, no.
Yeah, so I stored all the stuff that we didn't get away with giving.
Some Operation Play-Doh.
Yes, because you were ill last year, so I thought it'd be appropriate you could practice on your Operation Play-Doh. Now I've got to see what I've got off Jan. Jan,
I've got
you
a chocolate fountain.
Jan's got a chocolate fountain over there, and I've got a board game called Smart Ass. Even if you're a dumb ass, you can win. An ultimate trivia game.
Right.
So that sounds like fun. That will be played with over Christmas.
No insult intended there.
That's okay. I'm not easily offended. Jane's now been left sat there holding sausage rolls and sausages on sticks. Yeah, you're a veggie. Oh dear. Would you like some crisps? We'll move that. We'll move that. The chicken crisps are suitable for vegetarians, but there we go. Let's pop everything down there. I'll open my card in a bit.
Oh.
I'm going to have a right mess to clean up afterwards. I'm going to be in right trouble, I can tell. But thank you for joining us. Our next episode will be the Christmas quiz. Andy Walters will be in the engineering seat for that one.
Oh, good. Nice to catch up with Andy.
So that will be with us on New Year's Eve. Brett, I'm absolutely loving it. The fabulous saying of Brett and Marie, Brett and Phil, Marie Timmins, thank you both for joining us.
It's been lovely to have you with us.
It's been great.
Let's play out of the show in our usual way with a theme tune, but thank you for joining us, and we look forward to seeing you all again very soon. Ta-ra for now.
Bye.
Cheerio.
Goodbye from the milk bar. 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 Yeah. Goodbye from the milk bar. Yeah.